Hi, this is Bill Woods again up here in Sun Valley, Arizona. Want to wish you a happy new year. It seems kind of strange to start writing 2022 now, but I guess we'll catch on to it before long. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 through 5. By the way, I want to talk about here we are at a new year. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 through 5. And the New American Standard Bible says, "But realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these." That sounds so current. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 10 through 17, and Paul has this whole list. He says, "Now you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecution, and suffering, such as has happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, with what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But evil men and impostors will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work." And finally, Isaiah chapter 42, verse 16, "I will lead the blind by a way they do not know. In paths they do not know, I will guide them. I will make darkness into light before them, and rugged places into plains. These are the things I will do, and I will not leave them undone." You know, at the beginning of each new year, the experts, quote-unquote, give predictions about the economy, politics, weather, and a host of other topics. They ask questions like, will there be war or peace? Are we going to have poverty or prosperity? Will we make progress or will we be stagnant? You know, it seems like everyone is happy to close out 2021, but predictions for 2022 are mostly gloomy right now, if you're paying attention. Says the dollar is going to fail this year and bring a worse depression than in the 1920s and 1930s, and that we're going to experience the Great Reset, which involves getting rid of the currency we now have and going on to bitcoins and electronic money. Climate change, they're saying there's going to be more problem with global warming that'll make the planet inhabitable. Talking about Russia, China, and Iran are wanting to start World War III. They say race riots will continue and spread until the president must declare martial law, and that the Democrats are wanting to bring in Marxism and communism. And now they're talking about vaccination passports, that if you don't take the vaccination, you'll be fired from your job and you won't be able to buy or sell without some kind of a passport saying that you're truly vaccinated. They say FEMA camps are prepared for people who refuse to get vaccinated, and it's already happening in Australia. Those who oppose gay marriage and abortion and hold Christian values will face persecution. I was reading this morning, Canada's government has declared parts of the Bible a myth and forbids any teachings that denigrate or vilify someone's sexual orientation. The Supreme Court there decided that faith is now banned from Canada's public spaces, and pastors may not preach parts of the Bible dealing with sexual issues under the penalty of arrest and possibly 5-year prison sentence. And then we know that there's food shortages that are artificially being created to control the population. It looks pretty bleak. When we ask if the world will get better or worse, the answer is pretty gloomy. Many magazine articles include things by the experts predicting that what will happen in the years ahead. Some predictions cover 10, 20, or even more years in the future. Some of these predictions in the past have proven amazingly accurate, but others have been completely wrong. I remember in 1967, experts predicted that by 2000, technology would have taken over so much of the work that the average work week would be 22 hours long, and we'd only work 27 weeks a year. Our biggest problem, they said, would be deciding what to do with all that leisure time that was on our hands. That prediction missed the mark as far as I'm concerned. Most of us seem very busy. We're always in a hurry. We walk fast. We talk fast. We eat fast. After we eat, we say, "Excuse me, I've got to run." Now here we are, facing 2022. I wonder how we'll do this year. Will we be as busy? Will we make better use of our time? Will the value of the dollar hold, or will it be like they're saying that it will be gone? In 365 days, when 2022 is over, will we look back with joy or regret? Will we face the future with anticipation or dread? The Apostle Paul gives some important lessons to consider for 2022. It's in Ephesians 5, 15 through 17. He said, "Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." See, our time on earth is limited. We must be careful how we live because of the fact our time is limited. Psalms 39:4 says, "Lord, make me to know my end and what is the extent of my days. Let me know how transient I am." Psalm 90:10 says, "As for the days of our life, they contain 70 years, or if due to strength, 80 years. Yet their pride is but labor and sorrow, for soon it is gone, and we fly away." Psalm 139:16, "Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them." I know that younger people think 70 or 80 years old sounds like a long, long time. I can remember once I thought 40 was ancient. Time seems relevant to circumstances. For example, to teenagers in love, talking together in a car for an hour or two seems like a blink of an eye. But to the parents in the house worrying about what's happening in that car, an hour can seem almost like an eternity. Psalms 90:12 says, "So teach us to number our days, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom." In 2011, People magazine published an article entitled "Dead Ahead," telling about a new clock that keeps track of how much time you have left to live. It calculated an average lifespan of 75 years for men, 80 years for women. It programmed your sex and age into the clock, and it told you how much time you have left. It sold for $99.95, and I couldn't help but wonder, in my way of doing things, if you live too long, much longer than that, will you get your money back? The psalmist said to number our days. I figure that since I'm now 79 years old, I'm living on borrowed time. That means my time's up. I'm very much alive, though. Dead people don't feel pain, and I can guarantee that when I get out of the bed in the morning, I'm just full of life because I hurt everywhere. There's no guarantee of that any of us will live even one more day. I remember my sister Peggy had no thought that she'd die that day in May 2014. James chapter 4, 13 through 14 says, "Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a place and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit, yet you do not know what your life will be tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away." So you see, all we have is now. Our time is valuable because it's limited and irreplaceable. And I would suggest to you that this is the main reason that you ought to be confessing your sins to Jesus Christ, repenting, accepting Him as your personal Savior, because you don't know what the future holds, how much time you have, and you need to be ready because you want to go to heaven just like I do. Most of us, we need to make the most of every opportunity. In Ephesians chapter 5, 15 and 16, it says, "Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil." Jesus called Satan a robber and a thief. One thing Satan wants to rob is your time, because time is a very precious possession. Think of the time wasted in sinning, time wasted in bars or gambling casinos or in shallow affairs, time wasted gossiping or spreading rumors or doing anything, you know, that's contrary to the will of God. Think of the time then wasted worrying about the consequences of the sins that you've committed. Satan is a thief and a robber. But it isn't just sin that demands our time. Sometimes good things make demands. Jesus visited Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. He sat to teach, and Mary sat at his feet, soaking in every word. Martha was in the kitchen preparing dinner. Martha got upset because Mary wasn't helping. In Luke chapter 10, verse 40, it says, "But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me.' Jesus answered in Luke chapter 10, verses 41 and 42, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall be taken, shall not be taken away from her.'" Was Martha sinning by fixing a meal? Well, of course not. Her problem was she was so preoccupied with what she was doing that she didn't realize that God was sitting in her living room. You know, we make that mistake. We get so caught up in the here and now and fail to deal with eternal things that will last forever. Dr. Richard Swenson wrote a book pointing to one of the major problems of our time: anxiety and stress. He called it overload and said people are just plain overloaded. We're overloaded with commitments. We're committed to go here and there, to handle this activity and go to that social function. The result, we're meeting ourselves coming and going because we're overloaded ourselves with commitments. We're overloaded in possessions. Our closets and our garages, if you have one, are full and overflowing. We're buried in debt for all the things we simply must have. We're afraid someone will steal them, and we're overloaded with possessions. We're overloaded with work. Most of you get up early, you fight traffic, and experience intolerable working conditions because you have to pay for all those possessions that you've accumulated. There's an information overload. Richard Swenson said as a doctor, he reads 220 articles a month just to keep up with the changes in the medical profession. The internet has added an information superhighway, which adds even more stress to us. The problem is we can't possibly absorb it all, so we feel overloaded here too. I'm sure that you get the picture. There are so many demands on our time, good things that need to be done, but so many. But there is only 8,760 hours in 2022. And we want to make the most of every opportunity. So what can we do when we feel so overloaded? Well, you know, we can understand God's will for us. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." Well, what do you think God wants from you in 2022? What do you think he wants for you? I'm talking about, what's he want for you? What's he want from you? Does he want you so saturated with worries and anxieties that you can't think spiritual thoughts? Does he want your calendar so crowded that you don't have time for the important things that you need to do with God? What do you think God's will is for you this year? Well, here are a couple suggestions. First, establish your priorities. I assume you want God to be part of your life. So decide what part he plays in your life. Who or what is most important to your life? I believe because God was willing to give 100% for us on that cross, I believe he expects us to give back a good part of our life to him. I hope you answered, the most important thing is my relationship with God through Jesus. If so, put that at the top of your list of priorities and say, this will affect my decisions. It'll affect my scheduling, my relationship with others, and my whole outlook on life. Therefore, on Sunday, neither rain nor shine nor football kickoffs will interfere with my being in church because Christ is first in my life. Nothing will interfere with my worship of God. Schedule a time to pray and read his word. Pray for yourself, pray for your family, for your pastor, for people around you. Pray for the church and the missionaries. Sometimes those missionaries feel so alone and far away, they need some encouragement from us. You'll never know what your prayers mean to them. Pray for the persecuted church. You'll be blessed as you grow in your faith and trust in God. Spend time then after, you know, you've given God the time that you need to give to him, then spend time with your family. Every husband ought to have a date night with his wife just to keep the romance alive. A time when the two of them can get away without letting anything else interfere. No beepers, no telephones, no interruptions. Just a time to keep the romance in their marriage. Maybe go to a nice restaurant or even just have a nice meal at home and spend quality time together. Whatever it is, like I said, make sure you spend time together and work on your relationship with each other. Then spend time with your children too, because they grow up so fast. I can hardly believe how my two little girls that I had so much fun with when they were little are adults now. And not only adults, are mothers, and with Tammy's case, grandmother. They grow up so fast. Don't let these precious moments get away from you. Make sure your family is high on the list of things that you want to accomplish. Most of you work. Christians ought to be good workers. When someone hires a Christian, they should know that they'll get an honest day's work. Christians have responsibilities to honor God, even at the marketplace. Remember, how you work often reflects what you think of God. So first of all, establish your priorities. Then learn how to live today. The greatest enemies of time are regrets for things in the past and anxiety about the future. Many of us live either in the past or in the future. We play the little game of, I wished it were. I wished it were next week, or I wished it were last year, or I wish we were in next month, or something like that. You know, kids go to school and say, boy, I wish that this day was over. Gary Freeman talked about a girl who went to college and hated it. She told herself, if I ever get out of college and get married and have children, I know I will enjoy life more. She stuck with college. She went to classes every day and finally graduated from her college. She got married, had children, and lo and behold, discovered they're a lot of work too. She told herself, if I can just get these kids raised, I'll be able to relax and enjoy life. When the kids were entering high school, her husband said, we don't have enough money to send our kids to college. You'll have to get a job. Well, she didn't want a job, but he was right. They needed money, so she went to work, and she hated it. She told herself, if I can just get these kids out of college and get the bills paid, I'll quit work and enjoy life. Finally, the baby of the family graduated from college and the bills were paid. She walked into her boss's office and she said, I quit. He said, well, don't quit now. Stay another 8 years. You'll have a pension for the rest of your life. She thought, I don't want to work 8 more years, but there's all that money. I can't turn down this opportunity. She worked 8 more years. Finally, she and her husband retired. They sold their home and bought a retirement cottage. They sat on the swing on their front porch and looked at the family picture album and dreamed about those good old days back then. Someone said, life is what happens to you when you're making plans to do something else. 2022 stretches out before us right now. And my prayer is, Lord, help us to redeem the time so that we have a happy, productive new year that will glorify you. During 2022, may you have enough happiness to keep you sweet, enough trials to keep you strong, enough sorrow to keep you human, enough hope to keep you happy, enough failure to keep you humble, enough success to keep you eager, enough friends to give you comfort, enough wealth to meet your needs, enough enthusiasm to make you look forward to tomorrow, and enough determination to make each day better than the day before. Lord, please help me to use the 8,760 hours of 2022 for your glory. Romans chapter 13, 11 and 12 says, do this knowing the time, that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. The night is almost gone. The day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. What about those gloomy predictions of 2022? Should I be afraid? No, everything's under control because God's already there, and he'll lead you through to victory if you'll follow and obey. Fix your eyes upon Jesus. Stay close to him. He'll take you through what lies ahead, no matter how dark it may seem at the time. Don't be afraid. Remember, fear doesn't come from God. And we read that, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Isaiah 42:16 says, I will lead the blind by the way they do not know, in paths they do not know. I will guide them. I will make darkness into light before them, and rugged places in the plains. These are the things I will do, and I will not leave them undone. I want to say Happy New Year, because, you know, we're all going to be going through at least part of it. Remember to keep God first and make it a successful year for you and your family. God bless you. We'll talk to you next time. And I would remind you again, keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. Keep yourself prayed up. And do all that God wants you to do with this year. If you need to get in touch with me, remember my email address is revwmwoods@gmail.com. My mailing address is Box 2 or 4031 Sun Valley, Arizona 86029. God bless you.